Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Our very special guest today is a wonderful, wonderful actor, wonderful character actor, Max Gale. Max, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Do you like the term character actor?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, what it means is not a leading man or not a, you know, not, but I think all good actors sort of think of themselves as character actors or doing characters, you know.
And
I it's there like a lot of other terms in life, no matter what you do, that it has its meaning and it's not worth getting hung up on.
I'll tell you, a lot of people probably know you from, well, you've done certainly a lot of work before and after, but certainly the work that I would imagine you most recognized for is the role of Wojo in Barney Miller. You played Wojo in, gosh, I mean, almost 200 episodes it has to be.
Yeah, I think 165 or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I, you know, I did a few things after, right after, but nothing as lasting as, you know, 7.5 years of show and years of reruns. And then I kind of dropped out to deal with some family issues that happened. And I got married, had a baby, found out my wife had cancer when our baby was 8 months old.
Oh boy.
She was 2.5. I became a single mom, you know, and so my life took me on a different journey than the sort of actor activist path that I thought was the one I'd found, but one full of blessings. And I did eventually remarry and start to work again, but I just found that I had changed and the business had changed, and I found myself looking around for other things to float my boat. And a few years back, you know, once in a while I would work on something, but a few years ago my stash ran out and my appetite came back, you know, and I've been out wagging my tail since.
Well, you mentioned losing your wife, and I mean that's, you know, every man and every woman alive can empathize with you and sympathize with you on that. But you had a 2.5-year-old daughter. How long were you single while raising her?
Let's see, she was 6 when I remarried.
So that's certainly a rough enough time losing a spouse, but losing a spouse and raising a daughter alone, I mean, it's got to be amazing. How is your daughter doing?
She's doing great. She lives down in Austin. She loves it. She's 30 years old now. She's an extraordinary person with a lot of character and insight and aliveness. And, you know, it's all good.
Did she ever get the acting bug?
No.
And
no, it's something that I think she could do. Well, I think we could all. I think we're all meant to act and sing and dance and tell stories, and it's part of the human, condition. But no, she's not. That's not her thing.
Now, you were born in Detroit, is that correct?
Yes.
And how long did you spend in that area?
Well, I pretty much grew up in what we call Downriver Detroit. Down where the Detroit River flows into Lake Erie, there was an island called Gros Isle, and our high school sports league was a bunch of farm towns. So as you head downriver from Detroit, you go through River Rouge and Ecorse. Those were at the time and still pretty much primarily black foundry towns where, you know, people came up from the south to work that part of industrial Detroit. And then it segued into farm towns, and Gros Isle was an island in the river there that kind of spanned those. And other than for a few years, my family moved down to Florida for the second semester of the school year. My mother had 3 sets of twins. She had 7 kids in 6 years, and she just grew exhausted with getting the last one in a snowsuit, and the first one would be coming back in the house. That's the way she used to talk about it.
Wow.
So they worked it out and got a place down in Delray Beach, and we went down there for a few years. For people as old as me, I'm going to be 71 in a couple of weeks, but those were the rebel without a cause days.
You know, 71's not old anymore. I mean, people are living well into the hundreds. You sound like such a young guy, and whenever I see you on TV, you've aged nicely.
Thank you. It's all about frame of mind.
Now,
but I do find I have to take a little more care of myself.
I think that's good advice for all of us.
Well, yeah.
Let's jump back to Barney Miller, if you don't mind.
Sure,
You worked with some actors there that had just been around for so many years. And the one guy I'm thinking of is Abe Vigoda.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm such a big Godfather fan. I just wonder, how many Godfather stories did he have? How many times did you guys just hit him up and ask him about his working with Brando and Coppola? And, I guess at the time, Pacino wasn't that big a deal until after that.
Not much, to be honest with you. Pacino was certainly a big deal for those who were familiar with the Actors Studio and De Niro and what was coming. Those were the young lights. I had a much less experience than anybody else in the cast, but I had connected in with that cool of that approach to theater and acting. So those guys loomed sort of large just for the kind of potential they held. I think with Abe, Abe had actually not done much film. He'd done a lot of theater, and I think the connections were more about his way of working. His approach to the work was more of a method approach, which was sometimes a little confusing to Danny Arnold, who created the show, and to Hal, who came from a musician's background and had done, been very successful as the lead understudy for a lot of Broadway plays, and then won the Tony for the Rothschilds. So people who really understand the sort of the music and rhythm and stuff and approach acting in that way sometimes are confused. Abe used to sit there. You can jump in any time because I'll just keep going.
I will remind people that we're talking to Max Gale, actor Max Gale, and many of you probably would recognize him, best known for his role as Wojo in Barney Miller. But go ahead, Max.
So Abe used to, like, when we would have breaks, Abe would often sit right in his chair there, Fish's chair, and just twirl his pencil and just stay in that sense of place, and sometimes he would say lines that weren't the kind of obvious rhythm that they were written in as a joke. His philosophy was, learn the line and let your mind be as free as a bird, as free as a bird. And
somehow that doesn't sound like him. It doesn't sound like any of his characters would say that, but that's behind the scenes type thing.
He was Abe was actually, younger than he looked. I think he looked like an old man at 16. He was a pretty avid handball player, but he had that character, that old, that worn. And here's my favorite story about Abe was, we were all gathered around Wojo's desk one time trying to figure out how to play something because there was a big, tall actor who, asked to go to the bathroom. He was in the cell, and he was asked to go to the bathroom. And he went in and somebody went in to chase him out of there. And he had taken the light bulb out, stuck his finger in the socket, and put his foot in the toilet and electrocuted himself. So this was the first and only time that somebody died during one of our shows. And we were just trying to figure out how to play it. I mean, there was a part of it as funny as, whoever it was came in and said, this is what he did. And Abe had the line, I didn't realize he was that tall. And we were, just trying to figure out how do we do this? I mean, we've always tried to work from a reality of this is a squad room. These are real people, finally Abe said, I know, we should play it with a loose hat. And I thought that was just perfect, that kind of in the days of the fedoras and you tip your hat up back, and I remember Danny and Hal just looking at each other, like, what in the hell is he talking about? But that was Abe.
What about Ron Silver? He played, what was his character's name, Ron Silver? Harris. Agent.
Ron Glass.
Oh, Ron Glass. What
Ron
am I talking
Silver's
about?
Silver's another good actor.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. But Ron Glass played Detective Harris or Sergeant Harris. What was he like? I mean, he was... he almost had, of course he was African-American. He was the one African-American on the regular set. And he had a very, like an Ali type feel to him, very confident. And maybe at that point, that was different than a lot of the roles that, that African-Americans had had. He was sophisticated. He liked, good clothes. It really was a departure. If you think about it, his character from many of the other roles that African-Americans were playing at that time.
Yeah, you know, that's a good observation. You know, just like in that time, Vietnam vets were often played as, you know, going through PTSD kind of. But we didn't have that language then. But you know, kind of off the wall. And Ron really didn't want to do that. For one thing, he was a very good athlete, and he had a lot of theater training with the Guthrie and all. So he had a kind of grace. And all of the characters were, in part, Danny Arnold, who created the show. So every character, you know, Wojo was a Marine, Danny had been a Marine. You know, Harris liked to dress and was a writer. Danny liked to dress and was a writer. You know, and at the same time, I think Danny's genius was that he wed that with certain elements of the characters, of the actors. You know, so we were looking at the humor within ourselves rather than, oh, this is somebody I've seen and I'm making fun of them. You know, we were, you know, looking more internally. And I think that's why the show had its particular character.
And
so, but we had, you want to hear a story about Ron that I think is.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay. So we were doing a show where Harris, his character, had been shot at, came on the crime scene. And even though he showed his badge, he was shot at by another cop because he was black. And the guy just made the decision that here's this black guy and there's a crime going on. So it must be him. And
profiling, early profiling.
Yes, exactly. And of course, Harris wasn't happy about that. And there were some, you know, angry words and stuff. And then it came, of course, you know, the show like that, you want to resolve it at the end of the day. And so they had a scene where he comes back and it's written that he apologizes to his buddies. And for people like Danny and Hal, Jack Sue, that, you know, came out of that more World War II kind of fraternity amongst different ethnic types who, you know, for the first time in many ways in America encountered each other. So there was that sense of, yeah, he apologized and we all could say, oh, it's okay. But Ron didn't want to apologize. He said, what do I have to apologize for? For being upset that something like this happens? And we spent, this was where Danny, as the runner, creator of the show and all, you know, we took a long time, and it's expensive time.
Yeah.
You got everybody, you know, to really talk that through and try to find some resolution that worked for everybody, you know. And it was hard for them to understand just because they were a somewhat different generation. And they got it, you know. But that was where, you know, Ron didn't want to be, you know, just sort of waving the black power flag or something like that. It wasn't that he didn't care about things, he didn't. You know, but that was a kind of watershed moment for us as a cast and a show and stuff to really take that time to find that and I think it's cool that you saw that in him.
I mean, that's what a difference in time that we're in. I mean, if you think about it now, I mean, it's just what a different world we're in from when you created, and we're speaking with Max Gale, who's a wonderful actor, and he's done much more than Barney Miller, but I was such a fan, I knew I was going to obsess on the Barney Miller part when I spoke to you, but, it's such a time capsule, what folks like you guys, and what Mary Tyler Moore, and you know, Carol O'Connor, and Gene Stapleton, what folks like that, to create these amount of shows at that time frame is just a time capsule. You know, you're looking at a world from a different place. And if you played it for, you know, kids now, and I don't know how dated it would seem, and I haven't seen an episode in a while, but it really sets up a whole different view of what the attitudes were then. Just an amazing, you know, I think an amazing thing about being involved in something like that. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, I do. And yet, interestingly, recently, as it's more and more as stuff is accessible out there, you know, from with the internet and all, so I'm starting to get a lot of letters or notes or online, you know, comments from younger people who are discovering the show. And it has such a different pace, and it's a lot less, I don't know, snarky. There's a certain kind of humor. For one thing, networks have been, you know, bleeding audience to cable and the internet. But so there's, you know, there's an effort to try to get more double entendres or just outright, you know, sexual jokes to try to hold on to an audience they feel they're losing. And, you know, so there are a lot, anyway, you know, because Barney Miller did have a different pace. It wasn't that sort of live studio audience that's all been pumped up by comedians and stuff. And so I'm starting to get these thoughtful letters that I used to get from, you know, English professors who would write when we were doing the show about how fantastic they thought the writing was or something. And so, you know, who knows?
Yeah, it was certainly just a wonderfully put together show, and you know, you guys should be congratulated. I'm sure it's fulfilling to be part of something like that. Let me ask you, and I'll remind everyone once again that we're speaking with Max Gale, actor Max Gale, and on Barney Miller, some of the guest characters, if I remember correctly, and it's been a while, but was Todd Bridges on the
yes.
show?
Yeah, he Todd did the show a couple of times.
Yeah, and it wasn't the same character that he did in Fish, am I right?
No, it was
he wasn't Loomis, right? Loomis was
no,
his role.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the same character, but in a way, you know, as I was saying about Danny, and all the characters were part Danny, you know, so Danny had grown up in New York, you know, so there were often there was often a character that would be sort of the young Hood, although Todd was even young for that at the time. But, you know, that young, slightly angry coming into adolescence or just coming out of adolescence, you know, those that sort of bridge in there. A. Martinez did that a number of times, came in and did that. But, yeah, Todd was a, you know, wonderful young man, and I'm really glad to see that he has found his way through that path that, you know, often for kids who get into you know, a career early on, why there's some very difficult times for them.
Yeah, I think if you were placing bets, and I don't mean to be dark about this, but if you were placing bets at the beginning of his troubles when that all started, I don't think a lot of people would have bet on him to still be here. And I think, you know, the fact that he's gotten through that. And again, I'm hoping to speak to him in sometime in the future on the air, because in many ways it's a huge success story. The other two young actors, you know, of course, on Different Strokes, you know, Dana Plato and Gary Coleman, you know, passed away, and they didn't have the easiest time of it. Todd Bridges was probably, you know, the poster child for what was wrong with child actors, or what could go wrong, and the fact that he's still around, and mm-hmm. he seems like he, you know, he's put it together. And again, I don't know, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure things change little by little, but or quickly, I should say. But you know, it's amazing to see somebody that early. Did you see any signs that he would have issues?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Everything seemed pretty healthy. But I think in retrospect, things I heard, there were pressures, you know, within a relationship with his family and what it means. It's all pretty heady stuff in a way, you know, especially, well, maybe more so in those days. I don't know, because there were like three networks and PBS, you know, so.
Yeah, right.
So, but, you know, significantly more money and attention and job security, and that can affect everybody involved with a television show, you know, from people on the set, because people get, you know, the camera people, if they get hired on as a regular job, the network programmers, I mean, everybody wants to keep the thing going. And so sometimes there are things going on with particularly young people, but you know, the effects of life not being processed in a healthy way, you know, sometimes show up in families of people. The person that's in the public eye, you know, they manage to hold it together because they need to, you know. So, and especially with young people, and there are some people who I mean, really embarrassed. I can't remember this guy's name right now because I've known him for a lot of years, and he was a child actor, and he's been the sort of activation energy of a group that, you know, that really keeps an eye on young people.
Not Johnny Whitaker, right? I mean, Johnny Whitaker.
No, not Johnny Whitaker.
Another guy was Paul something from
yes.
Donna Reed Show.
Yes, that's exactly who. And I think they've really helped a lot of, you know, people find a good path into a good life, and some, you know, get keep acting and some don't, you know, that's not, that's neither here nor there in a way, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me jump in. We have about 20 seconds left with Max Gale, who's really a wonderful actor and still at it. What's on your agenda this year? And again, we got about 20 seconds left, and where can people follow you?
Oh, geez. You know, goodness. I mean, I thought we were going to go into, you know, the sort of politics, environmental, all that kind of stuff.
Well, we got to do a part two if we can get you. That'd be great. Hey, by the way, Paul Peterson, maybe?
Paul Peterson. That's exactly who it is. Thank you very much. Yes, I would say, you know, I've been involved in this notion of the idea around LAP. You know, we say LAP is our, this fell in my lap, you know, our domain of care and responsibility, and all of our laps overlap somewhere. So if instead of fighting and polarizing every issue and making everything about who we're beating or whatever, if we more often circled up and share what's in our laps and look for where they overlap so that we can have a conversation with the center instead of sides, and, you know, practice the art of thinking together, because I think that's what we need to do as a species. So that's sort of my main through line. And then the other thing I'll say, I just got back from South by Southwest. We had the premiere of a little movie I did called The Frontier. They're looking for distribution, but it got a really, really wonderful response. And I feel very proud of the work I did in it. I was twice as old as the next person on the set, and all the people were very creative and stuff. And not very often I feel like I can go ahead and recommend something I've done. You know, I'd rather let other people do that, but I feel very good about that film.
Actor Max Gale has been our very special guest, and maybe we can get you back sometime in the near future.
Well, I see that you cover a lot of things with your show. That really fast, though. And I've enjoyed this conversation, so I'd be open to talking with you anytime. I appreciate it.
Would love to hear from you. Let's keep in touch. Max Gale, a wonderful actor. Thanks for being here, Max.